You're listening to AV Marketing, a podcast that curates stories and perspectives on how B2B and professional services firms use audio and video in their marketing. I'm your host, John Tyerman. Hi, gang. Welcome to another episode of AV Marketing. I'm your host, John Tyerman. Today, we're going to talk about how to name your business podcast, considerations for your name, how it impacts your positioning. And then we've got six different frameworks for coming up with a name. And then I'll pepper in some podcast naming stories and examples from four different guests along the way. But first, before we dive into our show, a few updates on the podcast. I've got a new microphone. It's a Shure MV7. It's what you're listening to right now. Hopefully the sound quality is a little bit better than some previous episodes. This mic has a USB and XLR connection. It's got a direct line out from the mic itself for live monitoring. Before, I was using a six-channel audio mixer with a Shure SM58, and that's designed a little bit more for live performances. So this one is specifically for podcasting. Hopefully it sounds a little bit better. If you're listening to the show, please give us a rating on Apple Podcasts. It really helps. You can follow the show on LinkedIn. Just search for A/V Marketing in the search bar. We'll post video clips with our guests, and you can follow along to get new episode content in your feed. So, yeah. And, you know, I offer fully outsourced podcast services, but I'm also doing research and development on a podcast course offering for solopreneurs and business professionals who want to do it themselves, but they don't know how. So I offer both one-on-one engagements as well as cohort-based groups. So if you're interested, reach out to me directly, john@redcedarmarketing.com. Shoot me a DM on LinkedIn. Either way works. All right, let's get to the show. So, considerations for your podcast name. First of all, it's important to understand the role of your podcast in your business. How does it connect to your overall marketing objectives? This is a complete topic for another episode, but this should be clear before you name your show. How is your podcast going to help your business achieve its goals? So here's a couple examples. Are you trying to educate a prospect on how to do something to enable your sales team? Are you trying to shine a light on an industry problem to generate demand? Or are you trying to entertain your target listener to hold their attention over a long span of time? So these are three different examples of how you might want to evoke a different emotion from your listener: courage, hope, shock, happiness, even disgust if you're railing against an ineffective status quo. The name of your podcast should reflect the emotion that you want to evoke in your target listener. So that's just kind of like base, fundamental, foundational layer. You really need to figure that out first before you can come up with a name. And that helps give you a little bit of direction in terms of which way you want to go. All right, so here are six frameworks for naming a business podcast. Framework number one, keyword or SEO-driven name. So this approach focuses on a keyword that your target audience uses to search across platforms. It doesn't have to be Google, because the theory is that if your audience is searching for a keyword on Google, they're likely to use that same keyword to search on different platforms. And this framework for coming up with a name, it's useful for educational-focused podcasts where the strategy is to educate a target audience. You can even optimize individual episodes for topical keywords related to the main show or keyword. So I'll give you a few examples of a keyword or SEO-driven name. The Accounting Podcast. Blake Oliver hosts The Accounting Podcast, and it's among the first to show up when you search for accounting on podcast platforms like Spotify. So I'm sure that was by design, focusing on accounting as a keyword. He probably saw the keyword opportunity. Another example is one that I'm more familiar with, Digital Marketing Troop. This was a podcast that I hosted when I was director of marketing at Silverback Strategies. And we targeted the keyword digital marketing when we launched the show. And we also did some keyword research for each episode. In fact, one of our episodes even ranked number one for the keyword Google Analytics 4 at one point. So I caught up with Allison Cochran. She's the Chief Revenue Officer at Silverback Strategies. Her and I worked very closely together on generating leads and revenue for Silverback Strategies. And we caught up to chat about Digital Marketing Troop and how we came up with that name. So here's AC.
I think to get there, a little bit of context, if it's okay, yeah. JT, to talk Absolutely. About who we are as a company, because it's directly connected. But yeah, the Digital Marketing Troop was the formal name of the podcast. We called it the Troop Podcast for short. And the Chief Revenue Officer of a performance marketing agency, it's never been harder to be a marketer. Changes over the last few years, like data privacy and AI and automation, have really impacted the inputs that marketers use to inform what bets they're making with their marketing budgets and how they're allocating those budgets. So these changes have fundamentally changed the skill sets marketers use to inform and drive performance in today's environment. And Silverback, my company, Silverback Strategies, is a performance marketing agency that's really been built since day one around helping our clients navigate and excel that rapidly changing and evolving digital marketing landscape. So navigating change and being aggressive in your approach to testing are critical to success as a digital marketer. And this is the connection to the troop. There's really no animal more aggressive when challenged. They're actually gentle giants most of the time. But when challenged, there's no animal more aggressive than a silverback gorilla. And that's precisely why Silverback is named. Our namesake is the Silverback Gorilla. So that brings us back to the Troop podcast. And a group of silverback gorillas, a fun fact, is called a troop. It's typically made up of one silverback, his female companions, and their offspring. So Silverback Strategies, we are a group of sophisticated digital marketing pros. We are a digital marketing troop. So the name just clicked.
Yeah, it did click. And people clicked on it, too. And I think a lot of what drove that was the digital marketing keyword at the front of the name. In Spotify, there were what would you call it when something preloads in the search window, like you start typing out and then it just kind of pops up as you're typing. Mm-hmm. You probably know what that's called.
You're giving more credit than I deserve. I do not, but I know the feature you're talking about.
But so I remember that there, start typing digital marketing into Spotify at one point in time, the show came up before you could even hit enter. So that was just kind of shows you the power of keyword optimization as it relates to podcast in the name of your podcast.
Which, that's really interesting you bring that up now and how it's connected to marketing. I don't want to go too deep on this, not the purpose of today's podcast, but yeah, the name helped us with really SEO optimization on podcast listing services and the nature of where SEO is going with the new, search generative experience and AI driven search. It's becoming more cross-channel. So what mm-hmm. kind of happened as just stumbling upon, we're a digital marketing agency, digital marketing troop, it made sense. It actually is core to what a good SEO strategy looks like when you want to incorporate more visual content, cross-channel community-based strategy. Podcasts are certainly part of that.
So the future of SEO, the future of search is constantly changing, as Allison alluded to. And so that is certainly one viable route for naming your business podcast is to focus on a keyword. Another framework that can be applied to naming a podcast is what I call the action word and payoff framework. And this is typically a two-word name that includes an action verb, so a verb that ends in ing, and a payoff noun. So this is what the listener gets out of the show. This framework is useful for an audience who is intrinsically motivated. So entrepreneurs, business leaders. Here's a couple examples. Seeking Wisdom. And this podcast is hosted by Drift's David Cancel. On the show, you can listen to leadership principles that have changed his personal and professional outlook and some of the hard-earned lessons he's learned over the 25-plus year career as a five-time startup founder. So that podcast is focused on entrepreneurs, startup founders, people who are seeking leadership wisdom. Another podcast episode that uses this framework is called Finding Mastery. And so this is a little bit different. It's a little bit outside of the business realm. It's more of a motivational podcast. And this is, here's the description of the podcast. Dive into the minds of the world's greatest athletes, leaders, thinkers, and doers with Dr. Michael Gervais, a high-performance psychologist and world-renowned expert on the relationship between high performance and the mind. So this podcast is focused on people who are looking to achieve high degrees of performance. So again, they're intrinsically motivated. So that's another framework that you can use to name your podcast. All right. Framework number three, alliteration. So alliteration is when you use the same consonant sound to create an easy-to-remember name. This approach is useful for business podcasts of professional services firms where sales cycles are really long. So the theory is a name that uses alliteration makes it just a little bit easier for prospects to remember the name of the podcast. So maybe they listen to an episode and maybe the need for your service doesn't happen for, you know, months down the line, but then they remember the name of your podcast, they connect that with you, they connect you with the company that you represent, and they reach out to inquire about your services. So a couple examples of alliteration, a podcast called Negotiations Ninja. Mark Raffin is the host of that show. I actually interviewed him on the Digital Marketing Troop. He has his whole podcast is about interviewing the best negotiators in the world. And so his podcast explores negotiation strategy, tactics, and then stories of negotiation failure and success. So Mark uses alliteration in his podcast name to help fuel his consulting business. Another example is a podcast that I also co-host. It's called Breaking Biz Dev. And so my colleague Mark Wainwright and I break down, beat up, and redefine business development for professional services firms. We think this is a good name. The alliteration helps, sure, but it also reflects our main message and that business development is too broad. We need to break it up into marketing and sales and other pieces. The alliteration helps. Mark and I are both solopreneurs. We offer a professional service and also have longer sales cycles. So it works for us in that way as well. All right, framework number four, plays on words. So a play on words is a literary technique that stretches words to make them sound familiar in a different context. This can be used to inspire different emotions like amusement, nostalgia, or introspection. So I'll give you a couple examples of how you can use a play on words in naming your business podcast. Surps up. So this plays on the common phrase surfs up, but S-E-R-P stands for search engine results page. So this podcast, Surps Up, is by Wix. And each week they offer an in-depth and unconventional take on SEO from hot topics to the latest industry developments. So it plays on Surfs Up. It's fun. Another example of play on words, Accounting for You. The Accounting for You podcast provides relevant tax and accounting information to help you and your business succeed. It plays on the word accounting to convey safety, so you won't be at risk for an audit by the IRS or OBAC taxes. This podcast is accounting for you. So I thought that was pretty clever when I was looking at different frameworks for this to provide examples for on this podcast. Another example is a podcast called What's in It for Them? I worked with a B2B software company called Tremendous to help them launch a podcast. And this podcast explores the psychology of using incentives for research, marketing, and employee engagement. What's in it for me is a recognizable phrase for anyone to say when they're being asked to do something. So if someone's asking you to do something, you say, well, what's in it for me? So taking that phrase, that common phrase, and going from me to them creates intrigue and relevance to target listeners. So recently, I caught up with Ian Floyd, a co-host on that podcast, and he heads up research and insights at Tremendous. And we talked about how we came up with that name. So here's Ian.
It's something that's been challenging for Tremendous overall is how do we talk about ourselves, right? We help companies pay people, which is vague because first people think it's we're doing some sort of payroll, right? Which we're not. It's in one-off settings. And so a good example is research incentives. You know, Google or someone else wants to pay somebody for taking a 5-minute survey. They will offer them $5. That's a huge accounting and logistics nightmare, right? And so they come to Tremendous to help administer those incentives. And then you take that and you apply it across different industries and different verticals. You can do marketing incentives like customer referral programs, or employee rewards and recognition like holiday gifts, or, you know, sales incentives, spiffs. And so we needed a name of a show that would encapsulate, you know, how you can run different programs across different verticals and use cases that's, you know, widely, universally applicable to all of them. So we didn't want to have the word incentive in the title because, you know, that doesn't really apply to the employee rewards and recognition space. And we didn't want rewards necessarily in the title because that doesn't apply to research incentives, right? And there's a lot of nuance in there in between. And fundamentally, we realized that it comes down to persuasion, behavioral economics. How do you influence behavior? And there's, you know, a common saying of like, well, if you're going to try and convince me of something, well, what's in it for me, right? But of course, our audience is companies that are trying to influence their customers or their participants or their employees. And so we came up with on our own what's in it for them, and then you came to us with what's in it for them. And once we saw both of us, you know, independently, coming up with like a very similar idea, we knew it just kind of clicked.
One thing I want to point out from what Ian said and from what Allison said earlier is it just kind of clicked. So in both of those examples, you heard both Allison and Ian talk about the business and their audience and the challenge, and then coming up with a name that works for both the business and for the listeners. So they're two different kinds of names, but they came to that conclusion from two different frameworks or two different lenses. And that's what this podcast episode is all about. So it just underscores that you really need to think about your business, how the podcast connects to your goals, and how it connects to your listeners as well. All right, framework number 5, zig when the rest zags. So this is, it's a little risky, and you put yourself out there, but this approach to naming a podcast is when you go to an extreme to make sure that your show name stands out. So I'll give you a few examples of podcasts with names that zig when the rest zags. Unprofessional Engineering. So this podcast released their final episode in September 2023, but they're a great example of podcast naming. So they break down a weekly engineering topic in a way that everyone can understand and enjoy. And so I think this is pretty cool about how they take a complicated subject and make it simple, but use a name that kind of zigs when everyone else zags. Engineering is typically looked at a very professional industry. So to say that they're unprofessional definitely gives it a little bit of a flavor that stands out. Another podcast with a name that zigs when the rest zags is Two Drunk Accountants. I like this name because it's fun. They're solving problems for small business owners one drink at a time. That's what their podcast says. So I'm sure that folks that listen to that podcast, maybe they're sitting down with a bourbon or a glass of wine. And that's a time where typically accounting firms won't reach their target audience. But these accountants do because of their podcast. Another example that zigs when the rest zags, 99% Invisible. So Roman Mars hosts this podcast, And the description is, design is everywhere in our lives, perhaps most importantly in the places where we've just stopped noticing. 99% Invisible is a weekly exploration of the process and power of design and architecture. The name stands out because it starts with a number. So if you search for architecture in Spotify, there's a lot of podcasts that have the word architecture in the name. 99% Invisible doesn't. It starts with a number, so it kind of stands out a little bit. So I thought that was another good example. This next example is more of a newsletter, but I wanted to call this out. I think there is a natural synergy between a good email newsletter and a podcast. They're very similar. Only one's more of an audio channel or video channel, and the other is completely text-based. But I worked with Same Page HR. They're a fractional HR company, and I helped them with some content marketing support. I caught up with co-founder Callie Murray about naming the newsletter, which we repurposed into a standalone podcast episode. Here's Callie.
All right, so Matt's my co-founder. Matt is the king of naming things, I've decided. So Same Page HR, love the name. I feel like every sales call we're in, someone says, I just want to be on the same page. But then he had this idea for an email newsletter called Working Theories, and another great name. And so he started writing just these great stories of, all kinds of different stories, but they all came down to this like little like memorable phrase that he called a working theory. So an example might be pattern recognition. And he had this great story about getting denied from a job interview years down the road or years past, but came down to this idea of he needed pattern recognition. And that was a working theory. And we actually talk about that all the time. There's other ones like pain cave he talked about. We've had friends share about dumb company rules as a working theory. So anyway, great newsletter. And it was kind of getting a lot of traction. People were enjoying it.
So there's another good example of naming. Even though it's more of in the newsletter kind of format, again, newsletters and podcasts, they're very, very similar. All right. Framework number 6, the brand-driven name. So it can be, sometimes it may make sense to use your company brand in the podcast. Sometimes it doesn't. There's pros and cons, and it all depends on your situation. But I wanted to call out a couple of different examples of how you can use brands or brand names in your podcast. All right, the first one is Deloitte. And, you know, I went to Spotify to try to find a good example of a brand-driven podcast. I searched for Deloitte, and I stopped counting after 50 different podcasts with Deloitte's branding on them. They're all in different languages around the world. Some were explicitly branded as Deloitte. Some were less prominent. Some were collaborations between individuals and Deloitte. So, you know, while this strategy might not work for your company, it does illustrate how larger brands may be able to experiment with multiple podcasts for different segments of their audience. So if you care to go take a look, just go to Spotify and search for Deloitte and then filter for podcasts. And seriously, like, look at all the different podcasts that Deloitte has. I just think that it's incredible. But it shows that this giant big four company, this giant consulting firm, is investing in podcasts. I think that's indicative of, you know, where the market's headed, where marketing is headed, especially for professional services firms, for firms who offer expertise as a solution or a service. People want to hear from the experts themselves. Speaking of experts, this next example is The Visible Expert. So this is a podcast that I co-hosted with Kelly Waffle when I was at Hinge Marketing, which is a branding agency for professional services firms. We launched The Visible Expert podcast based on a concept we came up with called The Visible Expert. And these are experts who build a personal brand, they make their expertise highly visible in the marketplace, and they command premium fees. So here's Kelly on the power of that name for our podcast.
Funny enough, you know, the whole concept of being a visible expert is, guiding people and showing them what tools and techniques they need to use to build their reputation, to build their followers, to build their authenticity. And that's exactly what we were doing when we were doing the Visible Expert. And, you know, we saw the dividends. You know, every week I would get notes from people saying, you know, I loved your last podcast, or, oh, based on what I just heard, you've motivated me to go pitch a new budget to my boss, or, you know, based on tips that you guys gave me, we're now trying account-based marketing for the first time, or whatever it was. There was enough credibility, reputation, and authenticity there that people not only heard in our content, but they heard it in our voices, the conversations, and things like that.
So the name Visible Expert is also the name of a book by that by Hinge Marketing. There's a couple different editions that they put out. Check out that book and see what the whole Visible Expert concept is all about. Hinge has done a great job with branding that term around their thought leadership and the services that they provide. All right, so let's recap the six different frameworks for naming a business podcast. Framework number one, keyword or SEO driven. Framework number two, you've got your action word and your payoff. Framework number three, you're using alliteration in the name. Framework number four, plays on words. Framework number five, zig when the rest zags. And then framework number six, use your brand. Use a brand that you have to drive the name of your podcast. All right, that concludes this episode of AV Marketing. Thank you all for listening. This episode is brought to you by Red Cedar Marketing. Differentiate your B2B or professional services marketing with audio, video, podcast content. Whether you need someone to coach you along the way or you need a fully outsourced podcast marketing agency, check out redcedarmarketing.com. Send an email to john@redcedarmarketing.com. Reach out to me on LinkedIn. Reach out to me on Twitter. Happy to have a conversation. Happy to help you out with your podcast concept. So thank you all so much, and we'll see you next time.